Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. And today we are going to be discussing love. And honestly, I don't know the exact direction we're going to be going in with this podcast. Okay, there are so many different avenues we can go down. And when I was praying that the Lord revealed to me what to discuss today in today's podcast, I felt Him lead me to talk about love. And the first verse that came to mind was John 3:16, which was, God loved the world this way, that He gave His only Son, so that everyone believes in Him will not die, but will have eternal life. And that is such, I just, we're gonna dive in. We're just gonna dive right in, y'all. That is such a wonderful example of God's love for us and Jesus's love for us, right? Because God loved each of us, every single one of us, so much in our imperfect state, because remember that we are imperfect. We're sinning. We have gone against God's will. We are not deserving of this, but He loved every single one of us so much that He wanted us to have the opportunity to have our sins paid for and to have eternity with Him. He loved us that much that He sacrificed His only Son, so that we may have the opportunity, that we may have the choice to choose to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And look at how much Jesus loved us, right? Jesus loved every single one of us so much that He went through the pain. This, when I'm talking about this, y'all, right now, I'm thinking about what's coming to mind right now is the movie of The Passion of the Christ. And I recently watched that movie again for the first time in a long time, and just seeing how Jesus was beaten, like how He was whipped and just tortured and laughed and made fun of and spit on and mocked in every way, how He was disfigured, like how He took all of that and then carried His cross and was crucified. He endured all of these false accusations. He heard Himself called all of these things that were not true. Like he experienced suffering in every single way and didn't deserve it. And He did it simply because He loves us. And He loved the Heavenly Father so much. The reason why He did it was love. It's so interesting, y'all. Last night I was at my young adult group, and we were talking about kings and how Jesus was a king. And the pastor said something that really stuck out to me and is sticking out to me more now we're talking about this, is that all the kings we see today, like all the kings that we know in our history books, right, have other people suffering for them, have other people dying for them. Every other king has armies, has people hired by them that will go to war for them, that will, spill blood for them, that will put their lives on the line for them to protect their money, their livelihood, their peace, their land, their power, their whatever. And Jesus was the opposite of that. His kingdom wasn't of this world. And what He did was He laid down His life. He laid down His life because He loved us. He spilled His blood for our eternity, for the forgiveness of our sins. Y'all, his spilling His blood, when we put our faith in Christ, when we're covered in the blood of Jesus, we have an authority in Christ Jesus. Yes, his spilling of the blood, like that is what pays our debt for us to go into eternal life with the Heavenly Father. But that's also our protection as we're navigating life now, right? Y'all, I have seen spiritual warfare with and without the blood of Jesus. I've shared this before, y'all. When I was in New Age spirituality, I was experiencing warfare. And I was trying to protect myself in the ways that the New Agers know to protect themselves, which is wearing crystals and wearing veils and using incense and evil eyes and sigils and all of these things. And none of these things will protect you like the blood of Jesus Christ will protect you. Okay, I used all of those things. I did all of those things, and I still saw weapons prospering, appearing to prosper after they formed. I saw hit after hit, suffering after suffering. But when I surrender my life to Jesus, and when I put my faith in him, and when I was covered in the blood of Jesus, y'all, when I was covered in the blood of Jesus, the weapons that were forming started falling to the floor. There was another in the fire with me. I wasn't facing these things alone. I was putting on the armor of God, and the armor was working. Like, I'm telling y'all, Jesus Christ spilling that blood is a protection. It is a covering for us, being covered in the blood of Jesus. That is how you step into the authority that's in the name of Jesus, y'all. You know that, and there's here in scripture, you can find it in scripture, where there are men who tried to cast out demons using Jesus's name, and the demons laughed at them. The demons, let me tell you all right now, the demons weren't rebuked. The demons didn't flee. The demons stood their ground because they said, you know, Paul, we know. Like these other people, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? Demons recognize when you are claiming the name of Jesus, when you are trying to use the authority in Jesus' name, but you aren't a true follower of Jesus, when you aren't covered in the blood, okay, when you have open doors, when you are playing both sides, when you're lukewarm, the enemy knows these things. So when people tried to use the authority, but they weren't actually covered in the blood, the demons didn't flee. The demons laughed. They said, who are you? We don't know you. We know Jesus. We know Moses. We know Paul. We know these other people. Who are you? Who are you? But Jesus loved us so much that he spilt his blood so that we may have the choice to put our faith in him and have his blood as a covering. Y'all, the love of Jesus, the love of the Heavenly Father is sacrificial. There's a scripture that we've been reading a lot in my church, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm pulling it out of the depths of my mind right now, y'all. That there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And it's just like, dang, that's what Jesus did for us, y'all. He loved us so much, he laid down his life for us, knowing the sins we were going to struggle with in this lifetime, knowing that even after we submitted to him, even after, you know, we gave our lives to him and put our faith in him, that we weren't going to be perfect, that we were going to stumble, that we were going to fall at times, and that we were going to have to turn to him to be picked up. This entire life, you know, y'all, putting your faith in Jesus and turning to him doesn't mean that, like, one day you're not going to need him, or that you're meant to, like, get healed or fixed by him and then go along your merry way. No, we are meant to, it's a relationship that we're going to be walking with the Lord for as long as we're here on this earth. There's a reason why Our Father prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. We're supposed to be going daily for our bread, which is our sustenance, what we need to get through the day, our guidance, our provision, our spiritual nourishment from the Lord. We're supposed to be getting that daily. We're supposed to be going to the Lord consistently. We're not meant to charge up and just pop back in every couple months. No, we're meant to go consistently. And I want to read some scripture, y'all, that I've been led to that talks about love. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, titled The Way of Love. And it says here, if I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I want to pause there. I want to break that down. You know, reading this, I could have all of the gifts. I could have the prophetic powers. I could know everything in the world. I could have all understanding. I could have the answer to every single one of your questions. I could have all the faith in the world. I could have all my faith in Jesus Christ. That I could say to this mountain, move, and it would move. I could have all of these things. But if I don't know the love of the Heavenly Father, if I don't know Christ-like love, if I'm not moving in love, I am nothing. All of those things mean nothing. If you can't do it from a loving space, from a loving place, it is nothing. Y'all, this was something, and I know I'm not perfect in this, that the Lord has really had to work on me with the past couple years, y'all. I just want to share a little bit of a personal testimony in this. I used to have all truth, but no love. I used to say things to people so bluntly of like, you know, someone would be dealing with an emotional thing, or they'd be dealing with a pattern, or they'd be dealing with a thing, and they would come to me and I would just start speaking so plainly to them. Like I would say, well, you're doing this and you're doing this and this is a problem and this is the source of all these problems and this person is doing this and I think this and this is what I think. And I would just say it so bluntly. So bluntly. And I would say that, well, I'm not being fake. I'm telling them what they need to hear. Well, if I sugarcoat it, I would always call it sugarcoating it. Y'all, you know, there's a reason. I call this podcast Salt Not Sweetener. Just to sidestep a little bit, the Lord has reminded me of scripture that you are the salt of the earth. And he had reminded me that I was not the sweetener. And that was because for a while I was too much watering things down. I was sugarcoating things out of not wanting to offend or not wanting to hurt people. But I can tell you right now that to say truth with empathy and with love and with thoughtfulness is not sugarcoating things. There is a difference, okay? We should never water down the gospel. What God says is a sin is a sin. Okay, what God says to do, you do. You do not change the gospel. Do not change the gospel. But I'm telling you right now, y'all, that your delivery is important. The way that you connect with people is important. Okay. You have to be able to do things with love. And I want to be very clear that doing things with Christ-like love, and we will continue to read in the scripture in a moment, okay, y'all? But love is truth and honesty. For the longest time I was raised, you know, I had a lot of different ideas thrown at me of what love is. And one of the things was what someone doesn't know won't hurt them. You know, hide things that might be harmful to someone. If even if this thing is true, don't tell that person because it might hurt their feelings. Or, you know, like just watering things that someone needs to hear and someone needs to know. And I was told that that was love, and that's not love. Okay, that keeps you comfortable, and that keeps the other person in kind of like a bit of a la-la land. I want to be very clear that truth and honesty is a form of love. Jesus Christ spoke the truth, and he spoke with honesty, and he spoke with authority, right? So we know that Jesus set an example right there, that speaking with truth and speaking with honesty, that is a form of love. Okay. But we can speak with truth and we can speak with honesty and not be trying to cut someone deep. I feel like someone needs to hear that today, okay? That there needs to be some love in your delivery. There needs to be some love in the way that you communicate it. Let's read further. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And this is saying, right, and where I'm going with this next is, you can be so self-sacrificial. How we just said a few minutes ago that the love of God was sacrificial, right? That he sacrificed his only son. And we see that Jesus sacrificed his life. So we can see that sacrifice is love. But sacrifice is a way to show your love, right? But sacrifice without there actually being love behind it is nothing. Saying you could give away everything that you own. You could give away it all. You could give up your body. But if there's not the love of Jesus behind it, then it's nothing. What is it pointing to? What is it leading to, if not the love of Jesus? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And y'all, I thought we were moving past the speaking with love, but there's an example that I want to give y'all of where the delivery really matters. Now, I'm someone, y'all, who, like, I have a heavy gossiping conviction. I have had a heavy gossiping conviction. Before I talk about somebody, if it's something I experienced, if I experienced it with, just an example, a family member, or a coworker, or someone that I've seen out and about, or something like that, and I feel drawn to bring it up in conversation with someone, I feel convicted, and I'll be honest with y'all, I'm not perfect in this, but there is a conviction of, why am I talking about this? Why am I bringing up this person? Why am I bringing up this situation in this setting or in this scenario? Is it to help this person? Is it to gain more of an understanding? Or is it for me to be relatable? Is it for me to have something to talk about? Is it for me to have something to discuss? Is it for me to feel more righteous? Is it for me to feel better? Is it for this person to feel put down? Because y'all, when I gossiped in the past, those were the reasons why. One of the top reasons why I gossiped with people I was, I used to have a friend group where that was what we did, was gossip. One of the main reasons is it was a camaraderie builder, right? So it was just a thing where like everyone could throw in something to say. You know, you would have like one center topic. So if we were talking about a person or a situation, everyone could add something in. So it was kind of like a bonding thing. We would use gossip to bond, right? Gossip also in a way of relating. When someone would say, "Oh, I'm dealing with this," you know, I would throw out, "Oh, I've dealt with that too, and this is what happened," and da 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 da, and I start throwing out things that I shouldn't be throwing out. I have no reason to be talking about that. It turns into gossip very quick to relate to someone, right? There were times when you would disguise gossiping as venting. Right, of, "Oh, well, I'm just talking about I had to deal with this," and acting like you're unpacking emotionally when, let's be real, that wasn't bothering you too heavy an hour ago or 2 hours ago. Gossip is it's a very easily slid in and disguised, and before you know it, you're speaking death over a situation. You know, there's so many times people use gossip to feel better about themselves. You know, if they're able to kind of talk about, "Well, this person's dealing with this sin, and this person's dealing with this problem, and this person's dealing with this," it makes me feel better about mine. It makes me feel better about what I have going on. It makes me feel better about what I'm doing. And you have to be so thoughtful of it, even as a follower of Christ. You know, like when you're a follower of Christ and gaining the conviction, it's important that you listen to the conviction. Just y'all know I share lots of personal experiences on here. There was one time when I was with like a group of other people who love the Lord, who love Christ, right? And it was like a really good conversation. And I was really vibing with the conversation. I was really getting into it. But I, not too long in the conversation, started to get a gossiping conviction. And when I am convicted of something, y'all, I close my mouth very quick. I have learned if I can't like immediately exit the conversation or I can't immediately redirect the conversation, I'm not going to feed into the conversation. I've learned to really zip my lips and keep my mouth shut. And the conversation had started with people kind of discussing what they just kind of what they had going on personally, but somehow it kind of shifted to talking about someone who wasn't there who was sinful, right? Who we'll just say that someone started discussing this person's act of sin that they had going on in their life. And then soon enough, there were other people who also started harping in and talking about that specific sin. And there's a group of people who participate in that sin as well, say like that sin, like there's a group of people who I think that's the best way I could word it. And before long, the conversation no longer focused on the sin, but started focusing on the group of people. And it started to feel more of like a shaming the sin of that group of people. And it started to feel like, and I don't think these people intended to, but the way that the conversation started to feel is that their sin that they have going on was separate than these other people. That in some way these other people were worse sinners than what they were, when sin is sin, right? You know, like even there are some sins that were very much compared. And I really felt the conviction to pull myself out of the conversation because I realized that although the things that they were saying were biblical, were accurate, that these things were sins and the scriptures that they were saying were, the delivery of it wasn't it, right? The delivery of it felt more judgmental and separating. And there didn't feel a love behind it. There felt like more of a speaking from a high place, an attacking, if you will, a kind of like trying to poke. And I don't know a better way to put it, but although the message was biblical, although what the people were saying was biblical, right? It could be backed by the word, and it was true that these things were sins. The delivery that they had with it didn't feel loving. It didn't feel like they were actually trying to welcome these people closer to Christ or trying to educate, or trying to like gently teach and guide. It didn't feel like there was an empathizing. It really felt like there was a divider and a wall up. And instead of a love, it felt like more of a distaste, right? It felt like more of a judgment, a condemnation. So I felt very quickly convicted not to feed in and just kind of wait on the conversation to shift and move forward. And that's what I did. And again, like these people, I don't believe by any means that they actually like hate these groups or that there was hate involved in that, but the delivery matters. The delivery matters just as much as the truth behind the message. There needs to be love with that, right? So yeah, that was one. And again, I'm not perfect in that, y'all. I felt convicted of that time and time again. It's something I'm still working on. I still find myself sometimes when my fuse starts getting a little short, or I feel like I've been repeating myself, I start to get very cut and dry. I found, y'all, that like sometimes I'll start saying something lovingly at first, but if I feel like it's not being heard, I start to get snippy and cold. And that's something that I have to personally work on. But yeah, I want to tell y'all that love can be shown in the delivery, and you can be truthful and honest and not sugarcoating while also showing love, right? Now let's see this here. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. That goes directly against what our generation glorifies as love. And I feel like right now we're going to talk a little bit more in a romantic sense and what we look for in partners, right? Because I can tell y'all that this right here, this wasn't what I looked for in partners growing up. And I can definitely attribute that to a lot of the content I consumed growing up, a lot of the TV shows I watched, a lot of the movies I watched, a lot of things that were available online to watch, a lot of the books I read. I was a Wattpad middle school and high schooler. So, you know, I read a lot of the stuff that I shouldn't have been reading. And just about every like movie and book modern day involves toxic romance and like toxic couples. You know, we can look at, I don't know if I can like say all of these by name. There's a very popular book to movie series that's about like this billionaire dude that it's definitely rated R. And I remember that was really popular when I was in high school. And when you actually look at it, it's the most toxic kind of love. That man was not patient. Okay, that man was not patient with her. I can tell you that right now. He was not kind. He was kind to everyone but her. He was only nice to her. He wasn't kind to anybody else, just about. He was very cut and dry with a lot of people. He was very envious, right? He would go out and buy all these things just so no one else could look at her when there were all these pictures. When we see, and so many people, I know I used to glorify that as the best relationship. There are so many people who I see talking on social media who consider dumping their partners because they're not jealous. There are trends constantly all going around on TikTok of like girls playing sounds to see if their boyfriend gets jealous, to see if their boyfriend gets mad, or guys playing sounds or like talking about certain accounts to see if other women get jealous. And like people take envy as a sign of love, of like, well, if they're not jealous for me, if they're not, you know, envious of other people, if they're not like overprotective. Like there are people who will purposely try to trigger envy or jealousy in a partner. And when that's not triggered, they'll say, oh, they don't love me. There are people who say, well, my person doesn't post me all the time and brag about me and boast about me and go around boast. So if they don't boast, then they don't love me. And I'm not saying that your partner is supposed to be keeping you secret. Okay. Your partner, that's not love either, is like keeping things hidden, but privacy is powerful. There's a powerfulness in a certain level of privacy. Okay. But our generation glorifies, I remember y'all growing up, people would always be posting woman crush Wednesday, man crush Monday. You know, there was like literal, you were supposed to every week post your partner. And there are people who would literally break up because they wouldn't get a woman crush or a man crush. It was crazy. It was crazy. Patient and kind. Let's go back to that. There's so many people who say, I only want a partner that's kind to me and no one else. There are so many people who actually love that, where they're like, I don't want someone who's nice to other people. I don't want someone who's kind to other people. I want them to be mean and all these things to other people, but only nice to me, only kind to me. That's toxic, y'all. That's not the love of Jesus. That's not the love of Jesus. Okay? Patient. Jesus is patient. The Heavenly Father is patient with us. So you best believe, notice how all of these things that God shows, all of these things that Jesus shows, are what we should be looking for in other partners, like in our partner, and in our friendships, and in our connections. Because love is platonic too, right? Love isn't just romantic. I know right now we're focusing on romantic love, but these are things you should be looking for in friendships and close connections as well, right? Someone who is patient with you, someone who isn't rushing you. But notice, y'all, and we're going to look at some fine lines with this, that God is patient with us, right? Jesus is patient with us. He doesn't rush us. He allows us to take our time. He allows us to check in with him. He allows us to move at the pace that he knows we need to move at. But he also doesn't condone laziness. He also doesn't condone us just, you know, once we give our lives to Christ, he doesn't say, okay, now you stay perfectly. You stay as you are. Continue that willful sin. Continue doing all these things. No, once we start pursuing relationship with Christ and surrender our lives to him, he starts changing us and improving us, right? He starts the sanctification process. And you'll notice that with people who love you, is they'll encourage you to grow and they'll encourage you to be better. Okay, they may be encouraging you to branch out, to try new things, to go to new places, things that are going to be edifying your relationship with Christ. I'm not saying leading you to sin. People who love you are going to be patient with you. They're not going to be rushing you. They're not going to be trying to force you to cross boundaries or to overstep or do anything like that. But patience isn't laziness, okay? Patience isn't also just condoning unhealthy habits and unhealthy behaviors. And I think that sometimes we get that confused in our generation with patience of someone who, Holy Spirit, give me the words. Sometimes we mistake patience with someone who has a lack of boundaries or a lack of standing up for themselves, a lack of communication, a lack of speaking up. When we think of someone who's patient, sometimes we think of someone who is willing to, and I want to be so thoughtful with the way I word this, accept treatment and behavior that they should not be accepting or treating. That they should not be accepting, right? They shouldn't be accepting that kind of treatment. They shouldn't be accepting that kind of behavior, okay? And that's why, and we'll get in on this a little bit more too, that's why it's so important before we love others to know the love of Christ. Y'all, when I look back at how I used to think I was loving people well and loving people right, but it was before I knew the love of Jesus. So I didn't know how to show that love to other people. And I can see just how much I was incorrectly loving people. You can't know the love of Jesus. You can't show people the love of Jesus if you don't know it. And I'm going to say this, and I heard someone say this a while back. I believe it was Pastor Bobby Chandler, and it struck a chord with me. You cannot be, as a follower of Christ, you cannot be loved correctly by people who don't know the love of Jesus. They cannot love you correctly. No matter how much they try, or no matter how much you want them to, if they don't know the love of Jesus, they cannot love you in the way that you're meant to be loved. Yeah, I want to say that our generation has such a thing of like, I owe nobody nothing, and these are all my boundaries. And I feel like people confuse boundaries with just kind of like being really selfish. Speaking as someone who I used to have a major lack of boundaries and not able to stand on them. And the Lord has really shown me how to set boundaries and stand on boundaries. There are some people who, y'all, our generation, we'll just say this, uses boundaries sometimes as an excuse for selfish behavior. Selfish behavior, unhealed behavior, okay, and uses boundaries as an excuse. Have the Lord help you set boundaries, set biblical boundaries. I promise they will be healthy. But let's go on and move forward. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. If someone is envious or jealous all the time, I'm going to tell y'all right now, that person's not showing you the love of Jesus. If it's a consistent thing that isn't being grown, that isn't actually being worked on, that isn't being developed, okay, have an open eye. And I'm speaking from experience as someone who I used to love jealous men. I used to love envious men. Okay. I was one of those people when I was, because again, y'all, I had a very toxic view of love. And as someone who I was always seeking attention for validation, jealousy and envy was a way to get it. I remember, especially when I was like my 18, 19, 20 years old, that was when, you know, you're posting all the thirst traps on Snapchat and everything. When someone's not texting you back or snapping you back, you post something because you're hoping that they'll see that and get jealous. Or, you know, you go out and you post that you're out hoping that they'll see it. You trying to trigger someone's jealousy, someone needs to hear this today. If you're trying to trigger someone's jealousy, that's not the love of Jesus operating through you right now, okay? If you find yourself consistently being jealous or envious, you need to take that to the Lord. And if the person you're with has, the person you're romantically involved with, a friend or a family member, you notice jealousy and envy problems, these things aren't being adapted, these things aren't being worked on, you need to take that to the Lord on what to do in regards to that person, okay? There may be a boundary that needs to be put up, but that's something to be thoughtful of, okay? Let's move forward. Let's move forward here. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Wow, that has me thinking again, y'all, to that series that I was telling y'all about earlier, that book to movie series, because that's kind of describing the main character of that book, who was meant to be like the most eligible bachelor ever, who he was kind of like very rude and curt to people that didn't have anything that he wanted. He was very rude and very hurt to those people, and he very much insisted on his own way. It was his way or the highway. And that's actually a thing that our generation seems to really be interested in for some reason, is kind of like being told what to do and having someone else execute their will over ours. And think about how God, Lord, thank you, I feel like you just kind of dropped this on me. God doesn't do that to us. He doesn't execute his will over us. We have a choice. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and spilled the blood, now we have the active choice to put our faith in Jesus or not. We have the active faith to obey God or not. We have the active choice to obey God or not. We have the active choice. We have the free will. God gave us the ability to choose to obey him or disobey him, to choose to submit or not submit, to choose to love him or not love him. And that is what heaven and hell is essentially, right? Heaven, eternity with the Heavenly Father, is when we choose to have a life, eternal life with the Lord. And when we go to eternal separation, that is because in our free will, we chose to live separately from the Lord. So he's giving that to us for eternity. That's another thing. Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father, showed us free will. He didn't execute his will over ours. So you best believe when someone is showing you Christ-like love, they are not executing their will over yours. It's not my way or the highway. Y'all, this was something that I had to learn very heavily. I had a lot of people in my life. When I tell you, I had so many different examples of, in quotation marks, love that I started later on to realize that's not love. That's control, or that's dominance, or that's manipulation. And I've shared with y'all before, I grew up with people with addictions and mental health problems. So naturally, yeah, especially if they don't know the love of Jesus, my treatment and my relationships are going to look drastically different than the love of Jesus. And I was very used to the, as long as you do what I want you to do and what I'm telling you to do, I'll love you kind of love. I was very used to the my way or the highway kind of love of, if, you know, this is what I expect from you, this is what I want from you, this is what I'm telling you to do, this is my will for your life, follow all of this, and, you know, I'll show you love. That was honestly what I was used to, is do all this, and then sometimes I'd hear congrats, sometimes I wouldn't. I'll buy you things, or I'll supply you with this, or I'll do this. Each person had different ways of showing love. I knew some people that the way that they loved you was by buying you things. I knew other people that the way that they loved you was by boasting different things. Like, each person had different love languages, I guess you could say. But I was very used to that conditional kind of love, right? Of, as long as you meet these requirements, I'll show you this love. And if you didn't meet those requirements, it's usually when you would get, in quotation marks, tough love, which was, I'm going to punish you in some form. Like, I'm going to take this away, or I'm going to say this thing about you, or I'm going to do this thing, or I'm going to withhold this from you. Isn't that crazy that the love of Jesus isn't withholding? You know, what goes on here next to say is, like, is not irritable or resentful. I've dealt with a lot of resentment in people who claim that they loved me, of, you know, once things wouldn't go the way that they wanted. If I stepped out of the box or the image that they had created for me, if what I did or said went against, you know, what they had envisioned, there would be a resentment there. Right? There would be a resentment there. Like, if they felt like what I was doing wasn't, I remember there was this one time, this person, I, you know, their family, and they really did, when I look back, like, show love kind of in not Christ-like ways. But there was one time when they had voiced to me that they felt like I was taking advantage of them. When I was doing things, when I tell y'all, I was checking in with the Lord daily on what I was supposed to be doing, because I was really new navigating my relationship with the Lord, and I wasn't perfect in what I was doing, but I was waiting on the Lord in this time period. And I was talking to a person who didn't have a relationship with the Lord, didn't love the Lord like that, and they had said to me very clearly that they felt like I was taking advantage of them. They didn't like the situation. And some of the things that they proceeded to say to me and kind of, like, threaten me with, it was very clear that they were resentful over that, right? So they felt like I was benefiting from the situation and they were not. And there was a resentment that was there. So they gave me some ultimatums and they laid some things out that very quickly. I was like, this doesn't feel like love. This feels like revenge. This feels like a way to kind of make me feel bad. This feels like a way to kind of dig a knife in me. This doesn't feel like love. This definitely doesn't feel like an unconditional love. And that was really, you know, that was actually a really eye-opening moment for me. And when I think about Jesus, I'm like, that wasn't required from Jesus. When I gave my life to him, y'all, and when I repented, when I was coming out of New Age spirituality and giving my life to Christ, he didn't require me to, like, go and jump through all these hoops to be forgiven and to experience his love. Like, I just had to admit to him, like, hey, I'm wrong and I need you. Like, my way isn't right and I need you. And asked for his forgiveness. And I was met with so much love and so much grace and so much mercy from the Lord. He didn't say, I didn't feel scolded. I didn't feel all of this condemnation. It was like, Jesus didn't tell me, okay, now you have to pay this money and do this and do this and do this to get right and for me to forgive you and, like, for us to be on good terms or to experience my love, to be covered in the blood. You have to do all of these things. He didn't make me clean myself up and check all these boxes. Now, of course, once I started living life submitted to the Lord, and being repentant isn't just feeling guilty for something. Being repentant is no longer being able to defend that thing, right? Repentant is a change of a heart placement at its root. So once you're repentant for something, it's not just you feel guilty or feel bad. It's like you actively, okay, my heart position on this thing changed. I no longer want this thing. I no longer desire this thing. So your actions start to look different. So of course my actions and my life started to change. You can't help but change when you are truly submitted to Jesus. But just seeing how, like, I didn't have to earn forgiveness. I didn't have to earn love. Even when I did things that went directly against God that I knew probably angered him or upset him, and I did feel I experienced the wrath of God at times in my life, in all honesty. Like, when I turned to him, he wasn't resentful. It wasn't full of God trying to get revenge or get a lick back or anything like that. And that's how I'm able, when I see that in other people, I'm like, that's not the love of Jesus being shown to me in that minute. And when I have a temptation, y'all, to be vengeful or to be, wanting a lick back or wanting, feeling resentful, I'm able to pinpoint that and be like, that's not Jesus. That's not a Jesus. That's not a love of Jesus-filled feeling, right? To move on here, it says, love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. So I want to be very clear on this. The love of Jesus is not bearing false witness. It's not bearing false witness. It's not lying. It's not deceiving. As we said earlier in the podcast, where, I was taught that what they don't know won't hurt them, to sugarcoat some things, to hide some things. That's really just protecting you, in all honesty, and your uncomfortability. And that's more just, and when I look at it at the very root, that was things I would tell myself so I wouldn't have to have hard conversations, or so I wouldn't have to have uncomfortable conversations. Most of the time, it wasn't actually to help someone else, because the truth is what's going to help the person, right? And it's confirmed right here in scripture. It's confirmed right here in scripture that love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices in truth. And we know so many places in the Bible where it's stated, like, y'all, and it's actually a commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, like, which means you should not lie. You should not falsely accuse someone. You shouldn't say this happened when it didn't happen. You shouldn't wrongfully target someone. You shouldn't wrongfully attack someone. If you have the, you should be doing good. You should be fleeing from evil. Where in the Bible do we see Jesus rejoicing in wrongdoing? Where in the Bible do we see God rejoicing at people being deceptive and evildoers? We don't. That's opposite of the character of God. That's opposite of who he calls us to be and what he calls us to do. Moving forward in here, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And I feel this endures all things so heavily highlighted. You cannot run away. You can't escape the love of Jesus. You can't escape the love of the Heavenly Father. You could sin every which way. And when you repent and turn to the Lord, he loves you just as much as he loved you before. I'm speaking from experience, y'all. I did so many sinful things. I had sex before marriage. I was a drunkard at one point in my life, a stoner, which I'm sure fits in with the drunkard. I was a liar. I was a diviner. I was participating in the New Age. I was doing all of these things. I was leading people astray. I was a false voice for such a long time. I was envious. I was jealous. I was boastful. I was arrogant. All of these things I know that God does not like, that are detestable to him. But his love never ran out. Even when I went through a season where I ran away, when I turned my back on the Lord and went deeper in the New Age, when he pulled me out of that, his love still endured. He didn't stop loving me during that time period. It wasn't, oh, she's going against my commandments, I don't love her anymore. It wasn't, oh, she's doing this, I can't love her anymore. I can't show her love. I don't love her. I don't love her. Now, did the Lord show me wrath at a time? Yeah, he turned me over to the consequences of my own sin because he knew that was the only way that I would turn back to him. God used it to get me to turn back to him, to see I needed him and to put my faith in him, because he had bigger plans for me. So he stopped showing me grace and mercy and letting my sin work out and started letting the weapons forming against me form. Like, I hit a point where I was like, dang, I need God. But his love endured. When I turned back to him, his love was there waiting for me. And that is what the love of Jesus is it's a love that doesn't run out. And we can kind of take that to tying it back to, when Jesus said to when someone forgive them 70 times 7, like when it's like an infinite forgiveness, our love should be infinite. And of course we can talk for hours too on boundaries, okay, because it is important to have boundaries. And to show someone the love of Jesus doesn't mean that you let every single boundary down or let every single wall down. If someone is going to mistreat you, if the Lord has revealed to you that you need to be having certain boundaries with a person, you can still love someone and hold those boundaries. It's important that your love for someone does not in any way cause you to be disobeying God or to overstep what he has told you to do. You can show people the love of Jesus and still be one walking in God's will and still be obeying him, right? So, yeah, love endures all things. It's not, I'll love you except for A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But again, y'all, love doesn't mean, I want to be very clear with this because there are some people who have like this conception that love means that like you can kind of be like spit on and stepped on and all of these kind of things, and you're expected to just be like puppy dog eyes, golden retriever, waiting to be hit again. And yes, we are supposed to turn the other cheek. But when the Lord calls you to set boundaries, if someone is consistently mistreating you and like it's not changing, take it to God. Okay, because there's going to be something for him to say to you. There's going to be some kind of guidance. There's going to be some kind of advice. There's going to be some kind of boundaries to set. Because I can tell you right now that God loves you so much. He wants you to be around people that also show you love. And it is so important. We are meant as Christians to show people who don't know the love of Jesus the love of Jesus. Okay? But boundaries are important. I'm thinking back to the scripture of you shouldn't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample on them. Like it is so important for you to have boundaries, okay? Because if you're constantly overpouring or like letting down certain boundaries and certain walls to people who are purposely going to overstep them, who are going to continue to hurt you and do things like that, that can actually be really damaging for you. Okay, that can be really kind of setting back for you. So I want to be very clear that like loving someone doesn't mean that you're like a doormat to be walked on. And if you're struggling with what boundaries to set and how to set boundaries, take it to God. Take it to God. He knows the relationship. He knows what you need. He knows what this person needs. And we know through reading scripture, right now I'm sharing with y'all different ways that you can still show this person love. Okay, but someone needs to hear that today, and I just want to make that very clear that loving someone doesn't mean being a doormat. Okay, now to move forward, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, y'all, I want to share a little bit of personal testimony for just how much the love of Jesus has truly changed my life. And I want to tell y'all that I didn't always speak like this, and I didn't always view God in this way. And when I was first giving my life to Christ, it was actually really hard for me to see God as a loving father, because God was my first, God and Jesus Christ, y'all, was my first ever, there's one other person in my life, okay, And I've talked about her before, my grandmother, who took me to church growing up, who loved Jesus. She loved the Lord. And when I look back, she was the truest example of Christ-like love I have ever seen, like, in this lifetime. She had every reason to be cynical and angry, and like, but she was just full of love. Every time when, you know, I wouldn't hear her gossip. I wouldn't hear her say a mean word. Like, she was always, she was not quick to anger. That woman was patient on patient on patient. She had the love of Jesus in her, and she was sharing it to everybody. And that's actually how, you know, now that I know the love of Jesus, I'm able to look back and see that that's what it was. But besides her, y'all, there were so many contaminated forms of love. And I know that these people believed that they were loving me, and they were probably loving me the best way that they knew how to love. But I could not, in my brain, like, fully grasp what this type of love was like, and that this type of love was really possible. Y'all, in my mind, love had to be conditional. Like, it was not, I will always love you. There was gonna be some kind of exception. There had to be some kind of exception. And even growing up in the church, I thought, well, God loves me unless I'm a sinner. So there is a part of me, honestly, y'all, that didn't believe that God loved me. Because I experienced pain and suffering, again, this was also, y'all, I didn't have the biblical literacy. I didn't fully understand the concept of the fallen world. I had scabs on my eyes. They had yet to fall off. I was not seeing things through a spiritual lens, okay? I had a very skewed and cynical view of the world. And I struggled so badly in actually believing that that God could be like an unconditional loving father, like a love that encompasses all things. And I think especially like when you don't feel like you have truly seen that through like your own parents, again, I believe I was shown the love that they know how to love me best, but it wasn't the same love that Jesus has, okay? It's really hard when you hadn't experienced that growing up to believe that you could experience that when you're like in your mid-20s, right? I was freshly 25 when I gave my life to Christ. And it was hard at that point. Everything has been so ingrained in you. And it was really hard for me to grasp that fact. And I looked at God more as the all-powerful being in the sky that sure was graceful and merciful, but it was really hard for me to really know that true love. And I learned it through experience, because I read it all on paper. You could read it, and I had so many people telling me how loving God was, how loving Jesus was, but it was so hard for me to understand it until I felt it myself. And you know the way I felt it, y'all? Was by messing up and going to God. You know, I committed all those sins, being a tarot reader, being all of these things. And when I went to God and he still loved me, I was like, what? Like, you're not expecting me to like burn the cards and like do all these and make all these, like do all these crazy things to establish, like, I don't need to earn back your love in all these radical ways. I had so long learned like that forgiveness, you had to earn back love and earn forgiveness and work your way. And with God, I didn't have to do that. And that was such a foreign concept to me of like, you just want me? You just want my heart? Like, you just want, like, it was so hard for me to compartmentalize that, right? Like, it was so hard for me to grasp that. But when I started putting that into practice of, okay, God, you're telling me that my repentance right now is enough. You're telling me that I am forgiven from just confessing this to you. And then just listening to what he called me to do. You know, with New Age, it was throwing away the tarot cards. It was, you know, slowly starting to use my platform to speak about the Lord and different things like that. He didn't tell me all those things day one. Those things started happening over like a period of time, right? And I started to see, wait, God is blessing my steps. I'm not having to go through all these periods of suffering and pain. Like, I truly am forgiven because he's blessing this next step I'm taking. He's showing me love in this way. Y'all, there was recently, I had the biggest, and I talk about it on my Ruth and Boaz episode. Like, not Ruth and Boaz. Every time y'all, I think about Ruth, I think of Ruth and Boaz. The, like, every time, I've talked about this before. When I read the story of Ruth and Boaz, when I read the story of Ruth, the book of Ruth, I just always immediately tie it Ruth and Boaz. But this past time when I was reading the book of Ruth, I was focused on her commitment to God through her commitment to Naomi, right? And I shared that I went through a time when I honestly, like, I was crying out to God and I was just upset. And I was like, God, like, you know, I don't have to obey. Like, I have the free will. I could go the other way and I'm still choosing to be here. And it was like all these emotions, and they're things that, like, I was like, you know, I've said before, like, I'm not proud because those things weren't righteous. I was like, you know, I'm looking at like, okay, I'm glad I took it to God. That was what I was supposed to do in that moment. At least I wasn't like, you know, consuming and like pouring into all these other vices or anything like that. I was taking my anger to God, and I was angry at my situation, and I was directing that at God. And you know, I was getting a little bit vengeful in my speaking of, I don't have to be doing this, which I was able to identify that's not the love of Jesus speaking through me at that moment. Those aren't some Christ-like things speaking through me, right? But it was like 5 minutes after I had stopped crying that I felt the Lord say, okay, now go get that stuff from the store that you forgot at the store. And when I go there, it's already sitting there pretty packaged up, and they're so kind to me. Here you go. And I just felt like, I just felt like that was God saying, like, I got you. And then later that day, like, there were some blessings that God delivered on, some little breakthroughs, which were for me confirmation of God has already forgiven me. And his forgiveness doesn't come with suffering and restriction and all of these things. He was already ready to help me, and he picked me back up, and he was already moving me forward. There are so many times, y'all, when, because with love is forgiveness, right? And so many times I knew throughout my life when someone would say, yeah, I love you, and yeah, I forgive you, but I'm going to restrict this thing for me for right now. And I'm going to withhold this thing from you for right now. And I'm going to cause kind of like, and I think for them, that was, you know, they would say it to me as like trying to teach me a lesson, or like, you know, trying to make themselves feel better. That when I look at it, I recognize that as a type of resentment, right? As a type of trying to revenge, whether or not they feel like it's revenge. When you try to hurt someone who has hurt you, that is getting revenge, okay? Trying to prove a point, trying to whatever it is at the end of the day, that's you executing your will over. And I was so used to that. I was so used to, well, yeah, I'll forgive you, I'll love you, but now these are the new restrictions, and now here are the new, all of these things. Here's the suffering, and here's this withholding. And the Lord didn't do that to me. And for so long, I learned that once you mess up, if you want forgiven, if you want to get right, like, there is going to be another suffering period. There's going to be another hardship period. There's going to be another, and that wasn't a thing with God. And I'm telling y'all, like, I saw the love of God each time I messed up and went back to God. Each time I said that thing I said I was never going to say, each time I acted that way that I never thought I was going to act, each time I did that thing that I never thought I was going to do, like, God is so amazing, because I didn't know that kind of love existed. I didn't know that kind of love existed. I didn't think that kind of love existed. I thought all love was contingent. I thought that all love was, and that was the kind of love I was showing people, y'all. Because that was the love I was seeking, that was the kind of love I was showing. And when I look back at all the people that I thought I had loved well before, and I'm like, I did not love them well. Because I was vengeful. I was resentful. I was envious. I was boastful. I was executing my will over them. I was like, I was doing what I believed was right for them over what they desired. Because I was like, this is and not in a Christ-like way. I want to be thoughtful with the way I word that, of things I thought was right that weren't going to lead closer to Christ, that I was executing my will over others. This is not in regards to prayer or anything like that, okay? I am a full, side note, but I am a full advocate for, I don't care whether or not they want me to pray for them, I'm going to pray for them. Because I'm here today because other people prayed for me, even when I didn't want other people praying for me. I'm talking about things that don't lead you closer to Christ. Okay? Okay. I'm not talking about prayer. I'm not talking about prayer. I'm not talking about taking things to the Lord. But there are so many times when, you know, when someone would say like, hey, I don't want to do that thing. I don't want to be a part of that thing. I don't want to do that kind of thing. But when I would think that I know better than them, and I would try to send them things for it anyway, I would try to sign them up for it anyway, I'm trying to do this, and it's like, no. God doesn't do that to me. Why am I so tempted to do that to them? Y'all, if anything I'm saying to do today, you are noticing some flags. You're starting to think, ooh, I kind of do that. Like, ooh, I'm kind of envious. Ooh, I'm kind of boastful. Ooh, I'm kind of vengeful. Like, ooh, I'm kind of impatient. Take it to the Lord and he'll help you fix it, because he helped me fix it. I was the most impatient person in the past. I'd be talking to someone for like 2 days and I'd be like, if you're so into me and you love me, why aren't we like dating and married now? Now, that was more when I was like 19, 20. Okay. Because I went through a time period for a good couple years after that where like I would be like, no, I need to be talking to you for like 6 months to determine whether or not I want to take anything further. And that was like when I was really emotionally disconnected. I've been on both sides of the spectrum. But yeah, love is patient. It's not going to rush you into making like all of these huge decisions. It's not going to rush you. Someone needs to hear this today. Love is not going to tell you to make a decision before you go to God. Love is not going to tell you to make that choice, to take that jump before praying about it. And I used to be one of the most impatient people. I wanted an answer right now. I wanted results right now. And I actually felt convicted about that. Not too long ago, I was having a conversation with someone where I was telling them, like, yeah, about like the little breakdown I had with God, and saying like one of the things was I was so mad that like, you know, I felt like he hadn't fully delivered on the promises yet. And this person said, and I'm paraphrasing, this wasn't word for word, I can't think of word for word, but the gist of what this person said is basically like, you can't rush the process. Like, one day when you finally get it, you're gonna see why it needed to take that time, and you're gonna be appreciative that it took the time. Like, it's going to be worth the wait, is what this person said. And I felt like very convicted with that, because that was my problem in the past, y'all, is you can't like microwave things with God. God will take you the long way. God will take you the harder way, because it's going to build a firmer foundation that can't be shaken when the winds come, when the rains come, when the winds blow. And I felt like convicted with that, where it's like, yeah, like I'm trying to I'm mad at God for not microwaving results, when if he handed me those microwaved results, it wouldn't be what I wanted anyway. It would be falling down in like 2 months. Because that's the thing, y'all, is when I was saying to God the other day, of like, I don't have to wait on you, I can go get those things, I felt an immediate conviction of, but that's not what you want, though. Like, the reason why. Like, I was sitting here saying, God, I've been single for years. I've been waiting on the husband. Where's he at? I could just go get one. Like, there's a lot of DMs I don't answer. There's a lot of things, like, I don't. And I felt so convicted, but why don't you answer them? And I'm like, well, because that's not my husband. Why don't you entertain it? Well, because those aren't that's not the man of God I want. I shared this in my single season episode, y'all, that, like, even people who were close to what I was looking for, when I knew that that wasn't who I was waiting for, I turned it down, because I knew that God had something bigger in store. And that was my immediate click of like, yeah, but whatever I would go out and get would be settling compared to what God has. I wouldn't be happy. Like, you know, there are other things, like when it comes to, you know, the way that I do my podcast and the way that I post my content. And honestly, y'all, my lack of advertising right now is actually more of a God-led thing. My lack of posting it up everywhere all the time, I do a little bit, but that's a God-led thing too, okay? I'm listening to God. I'm listening to his instruction, his guidance. And I was sitting there like, I could figure out clickbait things. I could probably get like a lot more traction now. I could at least attempt for it, but I'm not, because I know that that's not what God is calling me to do, right? It's like each of these things where I'm upset of like, God hasn't delivered on this yet. I don't feel like he's delivered on like the big thing in this. I could go grab it myself. There is that immediate conviction of, yeah, but it's going to be like half of what I actually want. It's not actually going to be what I want. It's not actually going to be what I desire. It's not actually going to be like, and I would just end right back up at square one months down the road and maybe accidentally pick up something that wasn't meant for the promise. No, thank you. And that's the thing, is anything that we try to do outside of God is not going to compare to his promise, is not going to compare to what he can develop and grow for us if we wait on him and submit to him instead. And the root of diverting from that, y'all, is usually, newsflash, the lack of patience. Is an impatience, might be a lack of gratitude, a lack of appreciation. I think that's what was mixing for me, right? Like I want it and I want it now. And then also unappreciative of what God had done in my life thus far. I hit a moment of forgetting what he had already done and focusing on what I felt like he didn't do. And notice how quickly a lack of gratitude and impatience can be like a recipe for disaster. Like it can be like a legit recipe for disaster. So if you feel like some of these things, like if you're like, I relate, like I feel like I'm impatient, or I feel like I'm, a big one is the truth. And that's one that a lot of people like to dance around. We've discussed that today, that God's word, it doesn't praise, it doesn't glorify wrongdoing. It supports truth and honesty. There are so many people who justify lying and sugarcoating and deceiving and like withholding things. And there are so many people who say, well, I'm doing it for this reason. I'm doing it for this reason. Like, I got a good reason for doing it. And I'll be the first to say, and I've said it in podcasts before, y'all, when we sin, it's not because we don't feel like we have a reason to. Oftentimes when we're sinning, we feel like we have a reason to defend it, especially if it's an active sin in our life. Like if someone is doing something continuously, even after feeling conviction, likely they feel like they have a good reason for doing it. I'm not saying that you do have a good reason. There is no good reason for the sin. The sin needs to be cut out, point blank, period. Okay. But there are a lot of people who justify what they're doing and feel like they have a just reason for what they're doing. I'm telling you right now, the root of it is identifying that you and knowing that you shouldn't be doing it, point blank period, and taking it to God on how can you break free of that and how can you move through that. Sin are like chains, right? They start to bind us. We start to become bound by our sin. And Jesus is the chain breaker, the blood of Jesus. Okay, so you need to take these chains to Jesus. And I'm not speaking to you guys from like some high place. I'm speaking to you from experience, because like I have had these convictions and I am not perfect in this area. Like I said, y'all, the gossiping one, heavy, 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 heavy. God started working with me on that in 2020, and was it 2022 or 2023, actually 2023. Fall of 2022, going into spring of 2023, I started feeling heavy convictions. And that was when I was still in New Age spirituality. That was way before I gave my life to Christ. And he was already working on my heart in that one. I was already starting to realize that power of life and death lies in the tongue, and I need to stop speaking death. I was like, it's crazy when I look back how the Lord was actually starting to plant seeds and work on certain things before I had fully stepped out of all my sin. You know, before I'd thrown away the tarot cards when I was a tarot card reader, when I was a New Age spirituality, before I had stepped away from those things, God was working in my heart in other areas. And that wasn't perfect, obviously, when I threw out those tarot cards. There's still a lot of work that the Lord has had to do in me. But when I look back, I see he was already making progress in my heart like before then. He was already starting to develop fruits. He was already starting to plant seeds that he was going to use later on to teach me, right? And I'll tell y'all, the gossiping one, that was something I did all day, every day. That was my main topic of conversation. And there are times when I would do it and claim like, oh, I'm just trying to vent, or like, I'm just like, I can relate. And God really revealed me. He's like, that's still gossip. If that's still gossip, you're still hurting that person. Like, what kind of healing are you bringing into that? That was where and someone needs to hear this today. These are a couple of questions I really started asking myself when I really felt the gossiping conviction. Is when I felt tempted to bring up, like, if I felt like someone else was sinning or someone else had something going on, and like I felt tempted to bring that up, my first question was, why am I bringing this up? Am I saying this because someone else mentioned? Because oftentimes, y'all, the reason why I gossiped is if someone would say, oh my gosh, I dealt with, like, there's this person who does this thing and it was so da da da. And I would usually perk up and be like, oh my gosh, I have a similar experience. And I knew that I knew a person like this too. And then would start kind of mouthing off about them. Gossip. That was me personally. Like, I had like a gossip conviction with that. And I realized, I was like, okay, I'm only talking about this or discussing this so that way I could be relatable in conversation. This isn't worthy of being brought up. The big one was, is are who is going to be healed or like experience any kind of growth from this? That was the really big root of it. Because I was looking, I was like, okay, is me bringing this up, am I going to have some kind of healing conversation with this? Like, is me talking about this person or the situation, like, am I about to get actual, am I actually seeking wisdom that I intend to implement to be able to love this person better, to be able to fix things about myself? Like, am I in an open space right now to be able to hear that I'm actually speaking wrong, or I'm actually handling this wrong, or like, I have something to fix about myself, like, I have something to reflect on, I have something to do. Am I actually in the space, or do I want to hear other people come into agreement with what I'm saying? Like, what am I seeking for here? Like, am I, if someone tells me I'm wrong, if someone tells me to love this person this way or to do this thing, am I actually going to leave and try to implement all these things? Like, what am I trying to gain from this? Am I bringing that person into the conversation so that way they may hear? Because if this person like never hears some things that they need to change and like they need to shift, how are they actually going to know? Right? Because we plant seeds, but we don't do the work. We don't change people's hearts. That's God's job. But like, are you having these conversations but never involving the person? Like, how are they going to know? And those were just a couple of the big questions I had to ask myself. Whereas, like, when I'm having this, like, who is being helped by this conversation? Is this person that I'm focusing on actually going to be helped? Or is this just making me feel better or keeping a conversation going or making me seem relatable or whatever? And I'm telling you all this because, again, I did it. Like, this was a very big problem for me. And I am not perfect with it. And I'm telling y'all right now, when I feel that conviction, if you're new and just like trying to think and you need some ideas on how to handle it, these are some of the things that the Lord really gave me. Is number one, redirect the conversation, change the direction of the conversation, bring up a different topic, redirect it. If you're feeling led to rebuke and correct. Keep in mind, not everybody is open to rebuke and correction. There are some times when it is better not to cast your pearls before swine. Allow the Lord to guide you on, is this a situation where you are called to speak and the plant seeds? I have been in both situations. I have been in some times where the Lord has not told me to rebuke and correct, and I tried it anyway, and I was slapped in the face. And it was a figuratively, not literally, and it was a learning time for me, okay? There are times when the Lord is more calling you to pipe down and let him speak up and let him do his thing. There are times when our light, I want to quote this for you, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew 5:16. Okay. Sometimes it's not with our words, but it's with our actions. It's with our responses. And the Lord has shown me that sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is like be silent. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is not be involved. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is to just sit there quietly. And sometimes that's how I've had to handle something. Like when someone's gossiping or there's someone's speaking a lot of death or something like that's happening and I'm just sitting there quietly waiting on them to finish talking and like letting it go from there. And then there were some people that the Lord actually really brought me to. The bad company corrupts good morals and revealed to me that there were some people that I was not going to be able to be close with anymore. There are actually some people that the Lord called me to love from a distance is the best way I can word that, is to not have daily conversations and daily communications with them. Because no matter how many times I would redirect that conversation or correct, they were not repenting. They were not seeking the Lord. They were going in a very opposite direction, right? And there comes a point in time when that starts to be an influence for you or a stumbling block for you or a hindrance for you. And that's what that situation was for me. Okay, so there are so many, and that's why I tell y'all, when you recognize that something isn't right and there are some kind of boundaries that need to be set or something that needs to be done, take it to God because He knows the person, He knows the relationship, He knows the best way. There were some methods I was able to take with some people that worked marvelously that with others would have been more of a harm and a hindrance for me or for that person. Each person is unique, each relationship is unique. And allow the Lord to help you navigate that. And this isn't a night and day thing, y'all. I'm not saying that all of these changes are going to be made night and day. But I will say that the more that you practice these things, the more natural it starts to become for you. Avoiding gossip is a lot more natural for me now compared to how it used to be. Okay, patience is more natural for me now than it used to be. I'm not saying I'm perfect at any of these things. Again, y'all, I'm speaking to you about these things because I've been through these things. Meaning, I'm not like on some separate hill, like trying to talk down at you right now, and trying to say, like, shame on you, convict you, point like. Whoever you are listening to this podcast, or make you feel some type of way, like from a loving space, I'm speaking to you today as someone who has been there, done that. Okay. That these things, no matter how much we defend them or we may glorify them or romanticize them, going back just to the love of Jesus, a lot of the things that we embrace or look for or naturally gravitate towards, especially in this younger generation, isn't Christ-like. You know, the jealousy, the envy, all of these things. And I want to encourage you today to pursue Christ and to pray to Him and to ask Him to show you His love. Show you His love. I want to challenge y'all listening to us to ask God, God, like, show, I want to truly experience your love and help me to better show that love to other people. Because in order to show that love to other people, you need to experience it and to recognize it. Y'all, it was crazy. It was about like a month and a half ago. I was really going through it emotionally. And I was in this space where people pray for each other. And there was someone who didn't know what I needed, but started praying over me. And they kept saying, Lord, you love her so much. Like, show her your love. She needs to see how much you love her. And I didn't feel like I needed that in the time. I was like, I know God loves me. Like, what? I'm dealing with this other stuff. And it was the next day. I was in the morning getting ready for work, and I felt the Lord tell me to like get in prayer. And I went to get in prayer, and I felt like He told me like kneel. So I got on my knees and started praying, and it was like just like the most loving feeling that washed over me. And I want to keep some of the things in this prayer time private, but I feel like I'm really led to keep that between me and the Lord. But I just remember Him saying, like, I'm so well pleased with you, and I love you so much. And I started, like, I was trying to hold in so much from crying because I had just did my makeup and I had to leave, right? Like, I had to go. And it just it drastically changed how I perceived things and how I felt, where, because I didn't realize it, but I was starting to operate out of a space of the love I used to experience in the past, of where I felt like I had to earn love. I didn't realize I was in a space when I was going through all these hardships. I started thinking, maybe God's mad at me. Maybe I'm experiencing these things because he's not pleased with me. Maybe I'm experiencing these things because I'm just not doing things correct. I'm not doing things right. And he took that moment to say, like, that's not my character. Like, that's not the love of Jesus. That's not the love of the Heavenly Father that you know. You're comparing it to a worldly love, a worldly experience. Let me show you my love right here, right now. And it was an amazing, moving experience. And I was actually able to love people better that day. You know, when you're poured into, you're able to share it with others. And I want y'all to experience that too. So I'm going to encourage you today to pray that God shows you that love and that you're able to show that love to other people. I know this episode was a little bit longer than we usually go, so I am going to go ahead and end it here. Thank y'all so much for listening. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. If you're not already, I do ask that you subscribe, hit that subscribe button wherever it is you're listening to podcasts, and share it with someone, share it with a friend, share it with a family member, share it on social media. It really does make an impact, and I do appreciate your support. Thank you so much, guys. I'll see you next time. God bless.